What's up, y'all? How y'all feel out there?
Hey, Saints and Aints. I hope your teeth are clean on this morning, evening, afternoon.
That was so random, babe. They teeth? Why they teeth?
Because you're real close to my face, and so your like proximity to my face made me think of breath, which made me think of teeth. I'm not saying that your teeth or your breath are bad.
Because that's how I feel. I feel like you're trying to throw shade.
I know that's how it sounded, but that's not what I mean. It just made me think of teeth. But
you sure? You sure my breath don't smell like yesterday?
I'm positive on today that your teeth smelled like today. But if it did smell toxic in light of our discussion today,
I see the little transition.
Then I definitely would have told you because
y'all beat the little transition. We didn't plan that, by the way.
Because it just would be real hard to get through this if your breath smelled like last week. You know what I'm saying? Like I shouldn't have to suffer through that kind of.
I'm glad I got an honest wife because some people be out here just bad, like letting they. Spouse just
we supposed to succeed at holiness if our spouse got bad breath? That makes holiness hard.
What?
No, it does. Explain. because a part of being holy is loving your neighbor, right?
Okay, I see.
A part of loving you, one, is telling you the truth. It's hard to love you if your breath stank. So I need to tell you that so that we can move on.
I had a friend, his breath always stunk, and I had to tell him like 5 times, and I'm like, why your wife don't tell you that your breath is slapping everybody?
But that's when I start to think maybe there's a disorder or there's something behind the scenes that we know not of. I'm so serious.
And I really love this guy, but he smelled like he swallowed something dead.
No, I think the person you're talking about, I remember there was a situation where I smelled their breath from really far away. And that's when it's like, okay, this is another kind of level because we're not even close and I still smell
and
it.
And the person that breaths, they probably going to listen to this. And
they don't know. People that breath stink don't know they breath stink.
But he know his breath stink because I told him 5 times.
Okay.
So he going to be like, man, you was talking about me, but we that
well,
cool.
Well, he definitely knows who he is now. He's going to count.
He going to text me.
Preston did tell me that my breath stink 5 times.
He going to text me. I'm like, well, you know your breath stunk.
By the third time, that was just pride. You just don't want to fix the problem here. Anyway, we talking about toxic friendships in particular. You told me a couple of days ago that you actually just heard about this saying.
Yeah, when you brought up this topic for the podcast, I was like, you know what? This is kind of new to me. I was like, I don't know. The phrasing of toxic and all of this toxic friendship and toxic relationships, this is kind of new to me.
Do you think that's because of like do you think it's a female thing?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you that because none of my guy friends walk around like, bro, he toxic. You know what I'm saying? They never walk around saying that. So I'm like, is it a female thing? Do you think it's more of a female thing than a man thing?
Wording is. I don't think the circumstances are.
Oh, because some dudes be cutting people off.
Yeah, everybody has difficult relationships. I just think women are more likely to call something toxic than a man is. A man just gonna be like, man, he tripping.
He bogus.
Yeah.
don't mess with him. He be on some other.
So let's define it. I'm on Psychology Today. This is their definition of toxic relationships. It says a toxic relationship is any relationship that is unfavorable to you or others. I think that's pretty broad. I think my immediate thought is, what do we mean by unfavorable? Like, how do we define that? And so they've broken it down into some traits of what toxic relationships are. They say toxic relationships are unfavorable, unhealthy, unwholesome, hazardous, poisonous, deadly, injurious.
It sounds very dangerous.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot. I think my thing is, though, on social media, the place where we see the most about toxic relationships, whether that's little quotes or, you know, little captions, it's pretty general to me that my interpretation of how people use toxic relationship is really any relationship that is exhausting, that you might be presuming is seasonal because it's draining you of your energy and your mental capacity. And you just like, you know what? I'm over it. That's what I get.
Basically, when you say over it, like, I'm cutting you off because I just I'm
done with this.
I'm done with it. Yeah.
I pulled up some quotes on Pinterest. Here's one quote that's under the banner of toxic friendships. It says, "I usually give people more chances than they deserve, but once I'm done, I'm done.
I'm done. Done."
That's how when I see these quotes about toxic friendships, that's what people are usually saying. Here's another one. It says, "You are allowed to terminate toxic relationships. You are allowed to walk away from people who hurt you. You are allowed to be angry and selfish and unforgiving. You don't owe anyone an explanation for taking care of yourself."
Well, that's not biblical.
Well, I think a fair assessment would be, yes, you are allowed to be hurt. Yes, there are circumstances where you will be angry. But how does the Bible, how does the Holy Spirit, how does the gospel change how you should respond in light of your anger and in light of your pain? I think that's really the question. Yeah. Here's another one. It says, "Do not surround yourself with people who are not teachable." So the way Jesus and the disciples were set up, I don't really know how that would apply.
Yeah, that's all Jesus literally did was surround himself around people who was...
So, yeah. So I guess my thought in talking about toxic friendships is that a lot of the language around it, it just seems kind of self-centered. Do you think that would be a fair assessment?
Yeah. In a lot of ways, yes. I never want to just dismiss people who feel like they're in dangerous situations. But for the most part, especially on IG, when I've seen it lately, it definitely seems self-centered.
Yeah, a little bit. Especially when it says, like, you have a right to be selfish or don't surround yourself with people who are not teachable. Because I think what that might do is it just makes us people who only want people in our world that are easy.
Mm.
And I think that's, like, convenient. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because I know for me, like, I would prefer... to have friendships and people in my space that don't exhaust me, that don't drain me, that don't take work. And there's different friends. There are some friends that require a lot of work. There are some friendships that come really easy. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I think with this toxic friendship language, it could be easy for me to say, oh, if I have to work to maintain this friendship, I need to cut this off. When it's like, I'm not saying that that's not what God is calling you to do, but in light of forbearance, which is a fruit of the spirit, in light of love, love hopes the best, love endures all things like that. It is that understanding of love, like, shaping how I understand my friendship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I mean, yeah. Cause I will say a lot right now, but I feel like I can't, cause my men friends literally don't go through this. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to, like, interject, but I'm just going to be real. I don't know what to say.
Okay, so I'll talk.
Okay.
I know one thing that I've thought about how, like, I think the label of toxic friendship is too general. And I think because of its the general nature of it, I think it eliminates room for nuance and even just clarity on how to respond. So what I mean is there are some relationships that are being called toxic that are actually dangerous, where your life is being threatened and your safety is at risk. This relationship, when it's labeled dangerous and not just toxic, then you know, okay, how I respond to danger is I remove myself from this situation. I get police involved. I get, you know, I put certain measures around this person in light of the fact that they're dangerous.
So would you say that some people are confusing the two?
Yeah, because we're using toxic and it's not specific enough.
Yes.
But there's also some people who we're calling toxic, but what they really mean is, no, they're just irritating.
Yeah.
They irk you.
Right.
They frustrate you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so it isn't that they're toxic, like they're poisonous. It's that you just don't have the energy to deal with the different personality type that they have that's clashing against yours.
Yeah.
And so now that we recognize, no, this is an issue of irritability, then how do we apply love to how we respond to this person?
That's good, ma'am.
So using categories
teaching,
instead of just saying toxic, I think would give us way more understanding on what the heck to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And are there pastors and leaders on pulpits kind of teaching this stuff? Have you seen that?
I've seen Christian influencers I can't speak to pastors.
But are they teaching in a way that's like, that's low key seeming biblical? Like, you know,
probably. Yeah. I think it's a lot of like, there's a season for everybody language. In a sense, I don't think all friendships are meant to last forever. Like, yeah. I have friendships that we're still cordial. We still love each other, but we're in different life stages. I'm in different cities.
Everybody,
so,
I have that. Everybody,
you know what I'm saying?
That.
So that's fine. I just think it's problematic when we use season language as an excuse to walk in lovelessness. Mm. That's my problem. Because my default, like, I'm one of those people, when I was in high school, it was easy for me to cut people off. Mm. Not a problem. Chop, chop. You gone. I might give you one chance. After that one chance, you done shown yourself to be unloyal, or you did something that I thought was bogus. And by bogus, I don't even mean like they stole my MySpace password. It's like they did something that triggered some type of distrust in me. And I'm just like, no, I'm good. I wouldn't even ask for clarity. I wouldn't even see if I'm misinterpreting their actions. I would just cut them off. And so because of that, when I became a Christian and I had these friendships that the same thing might come up where I'm tempted now to disassociate myself from somebody. Now I have to recognize, oh, my default is to respond to difficulty in a worldly way. And a worldly way is to run.
This is really intriguing. I'm really learning a lot.
Are you? You should know this about me already.
Yeah, it's, well, not necessarily about you, but just about this whole toxic thing that's happening right now, this whole conversation.
You sound
I sound really old and out of touch, but I think in order for you to cut somebody off, they would have to be in your life, you know, in the first place. And I don't know, just with my brothers, I mean, we've been through things and we've had you know, hard things to get over. I had a couple of friends that I felt like was jealous of me. Mm-hmm. And I think you can label that toxic, like, you know, if somebody's jealous of you and you feel, sure, like they're, yeah. But one of the things that I didn't want to do was to completely cut him off because I valued him as a friend. Mm-hmm. And I didn't look at this one aspect of his jealousy to be deemed as toxic to the point where I would just cut him off out of my life, period. Mm-hmm. And because of that, like, he eventually, you know, confessed to me in his own timing that he was jealous of me. Mm-hmm. And we were able to get through that. So my thing is, I feel like if you don't give somebody the chance to grow, how do you think a friendship is supposed to progress if you have this whole, I guess, cut off thing that, mm-hmm, people are doing now?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like somebody who's years and years and years of just like bringing danger and just craziness to your life, but I'm just saying, like, if somebody's not benefiting you in a season, or somebody's hating on you in a season, or whatever, to not have no long suffering or no patience with them, how do you think the relationship is supposed to grow?
Yeah.
If you just cut them off,
because truth be told, it's in our nature to be dysfunctional in relationships. I mean, one of the first evidences of sin was in Adam blaming Eve, his wife, for his sin. There was an element of dysfunction. There was a brokenness in the relationship. Then you got Cain and Abel, one of them killing the other one. You know what I'm saying? Then you got Potiphar's wife trying to manipulate Joseph into sleeping with her and then lying on him. Like, what sin has done is naturally just frustrated and not allow peace to reign in relationships between two humans. And so we have a lot of baggage that we bring into all of our relationships because of our sin.
But not only that, if you look at the life of Jesus, who had these very close, intimate relationships, and he rolled with 12 men, but one of the men that he rolled with, namely Judas.
Do you think Judas was the most toxic?
Well, I mean, it could be.
Because Peter was, that's what Peter was fake.
That's what I was just about to say.
Real and fake at the same time.
I think Peter was very honest and impulsive, but I think that he had some fake tendencies. Someone, you never portray this man, and then before the rooster crow, you was like, nah, I don't know that dude.
And
you know,
he cursed.
And he cursed, right? But I think Peter loved God. Mm-hmm. I don't think Judas never even knew God.
I
never
agree.
Knew Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that because he never really knew God, like,
knew him in terms of,
yeah,
faith.
Conversion.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think Judas's eyes was open to the reality of who Christ was, like Peter's was. I think because of that, he wasn't able to like love God like the other disciples did. But I don't think Jesus cut him off as early as we would have cut him off. Mm. You know what I'm saying? If we would have saw what Jesus saw in Judas a long time ago, we would have cut him off.
Yeah, it's always like challenged me the fact that Jesus knew Judas would betray him and he still washed his feet.
Absolutely.
Yes. He still gave him the money back.
Yeah.
Knowing he was a thief.
Yeah.
This is God. He has full awareness of what's happening.
And some may say, well, when Jesus told Judas at the table, you know, Judas, what you're about to go do it quickly. And, you know, I think the next verse, it says Satan entered into Judas, right, and all of this stuff. That's when Jesus has cut him off. But I think Jesus, in his foreknowledge,
He gave him over,
yeah, right, in his timing. But at the same time, you still saw Jesus literally walk with this man his whole ministry, even though he was, quote unquote, toxic. He didn't cut him off. And I think what we get out of that story is how Jesus loves somebody that is hard to love, and how Jesus bared with someone who didn't necessarily love him back. Mm-hmm. And I think he still served them. And I think we as Christians can do the same thing.
Yeah. And that's difficult. It really is, because, ooh, the thing about friends that are hard is that it's irky. It just takes a lot of time, especially people who can seem, you know, those friends that like are a little bit irrational.
Yeah.
You know, like
we've hit a couple of them.
Yeah. They're in their head about you. And it's like the stuff they think you're doing or think you're saying is not even reality. And so I think that's why there's a huge need for like, I think people emphasize communication in marriage a lot, but we need the same thing in friendships.
Yeah.
Marriage ain't nothing but a real deep friendship under God where people have sex.
Yeah.
But
that's real deep that you said that, because speaking of marriage, like if I were to listen to a lot of my brothers who saw and had witnessed our courtship, I would have cut you off. I would have thought you was toxic. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because a lot of low-key brothers in my life was like, yo, like Jackie is difficult.
But truth be told, by definition, all of us are toxic. All of us, yes, are blemished, and all of us have issues that we bring into any relationship that we have.
Yeah.
And so I think to assume that anybody will be perfect is unfair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I think there is a difference. There are some people that are uniquely way more difficult than somebody else. But yeah, I'm glad you didn't cut me off. Thank you.
I cut you off.
No, I mean, they told you to cut me off and you didn't.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm saying thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought I caught you off in the conversation.
No, you didn't.
But yeah, like, I literally remember praying about the difficulties in our courtship. And I felt like God was saying to my heart, I'm calling you to love her, not like you, but like me. Mm. Unconditionally. And that's why I put it in the covenant poem, mm-hmm, when I proposed to you, because that was like a real thing. And I feel, of course, that's different, right? Because it's kind of unique, because it's a courtship, right, slash marriage, right? But I think the same thing can apply to anybody who has a hard relationship in their life, where God might be telling you, I actually put this difficult person in your life, not just to help sanctify you, mm-hmm, right, but also to help them, mm-hmm, right, to help grow them. And I think that's what hard relationships do. Mm-hmm. I think it stretches us. I think it helps us to be more patient and loving. Mm. And you know, because if everybody, I read in this book one time, this is about marriage, but in the book it said, if God gave us a spouse that met our every condition, we would never learn how to love unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think that's the same thing with these hard relationships that we automatically deem as toxic.
Yeah.
Like, don't underestimate what God is doing with you through these hard relationships. Hmm. And if you cut them off, I don't think he'll be able to do it. Because I think what we want in a lot of ways is just a free ride. We want to just breeze through this life with no difficulties, no hard relationships, nobody stressing us out. And that's just not what the body of Christ is.
Because humans are lazy. We really are. Like, we don't like to work.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that we are gluttons for punishment. Like, have the hardest friendships you could possibly have. But it is to say that I know myself enough to know that I don't want to work to get to the other side where God might be in this friendship. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, there is... there is some beauty and there is some growth, because if I defaulted to my natural disposition of cutting people off easily, I think my own maturity would have been stunted. Like my own ability to persevere in relationships, my own ability to even see how God can help me. Because there's some times where you have this like, I don't have enough patience for this person. Like you'll say that to yourself, right?
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit is saying, no, patience is a fruit of me. I have more than enough patience to give. And perhaps there are some circumstances where God is saying, I want to show myself strong in you and grow your love for your neighbor. Your friend is your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I've given you this particular friendship as a means of sanctification in you. And that's what makes it beneficial. But you would rather skip the difficulty, or you would rather skip the hardship of fighting for the joy that can be found in intimacy. Oof. Fighting for the joy that can be found in these hard friendships, and you're missing out. You're missing out on knowing me more, experiencing me more, and you're missing out on what I have for you in this friendship if you just fight through it.
Yeah.
That's not all friendships, but there's some, because like in Genesis 1, God says that it's not good for a man to be alone. And that doesn't just extend out into his relationship with Eve. That speaks to community. Friendship is a kind of community. Mm-hmm. And so there's some goodness to be found in friendships. And some of my friendships that have had difficulty or tension, when we've worked through that thing, we have a deeper friendship than we did before. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, that'll preach. That'll preach. And I think we've all been guilty of this. I know I've been guilty. I can't even sit here in front that I haven't been
all of us
guilty. I mean, it's been times where you was like, Preston, now you know you could work a little harder to reach back out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I've said the same thing to you. You know what I'm saying? And I do think that we just have to do the hard work of loving somebody when it gets hard.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we low key bias.
What do you mean?
We bias when it comes to who to bear with and who not to bear with.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We pick and choose.
Especially depending on how long I've been your friend.
Right.
My friends I've been friends with for a decade, they'll get way more energy out of me.
Absolutely.
Than somebody I met last year.
If you ain't want to be with them in the first place, you real quick to call them toxic.
Yeah.
It's like Shamika then stole your boyfriend twice, but y'all still best friends.
You know, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? I think we have a lot of biasness in it as well. And I think that just reveals our hearts. It's not them, it's you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Do you think that there are some cases where cutting someone off or distancing yourself from somebody who's a friend is actually wise to do? Do you think there are certain circumstances? And we're not talking about relationships that are dangerous. We're talking about relationships that might be burdensome or hard or difficult or irky, or they get on your nerves, or their personality clashes with yours, or they're causing stress in your life, like those kind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the reason why is because I think when we talk about this community, we talk about being in community with somebody and making this decision whether we should cut somebody off or not. Or when I say cut somebody off, like stop dealing with them in close intimacy.
You're just done.
Yeah. When you're just done. I think we should ask ourselves, are we truly doing something for the benefit of somebody else? Or are we just doing it out of our own selfish gain or our own feelings that we're in, mm-hmm. right? Because I think sometimes cutting somebody off or not being as close friends with somebody could be beneficial to them. Mm. It could help them to grow, because I think a lot of times our friendship just by default is it enables people. And I think it's like a crutch for people. I've had that where I've been friends with somebody and I felt like I was an idol. I felt like they esteemed.
I've had that too, yeah.
I felt like they esteemed my opinion too much. Mm. I felt like what I said and what I didn't say affected them too much.
Yeah.
And I don't think me being in their life like that was beneficial to them.
Mm.
But I didn't necessarily cut them off.
Yeah.
Because they irritated me. Even though it irritated me, I was like, you know what? This is not healthy mm-hmm. for me. And even when I became a new believer, like I had somebody in my life where God had to distance me from because their opinion, I esteemed their opinion too high.
Yeah.
So I think cutting somebody off is not always a bad thing, but the motive I think we should ask ourselves, what's the motive behind it? Is the motive like our own selfish thing?
I think that was wise to say, because I think this isn't talked about enough. And shout out to Kelly Needham. She actually has a book coming out called Friendish. I would check that out. But I think there's inordinate relationships, especially among women, I don't think is addressed enough, where that's a kind of relationship that might need to be cut. Because
explain what you mean by that.
So for me, when I became a Christian, I had a friend who we were really cool and really close, but it low-key became a situation where we're functioning like it's like really intimate without sex. And so we call each other all the time, or we talk to each other about everything, and we do everything together. And that's
low-key could be toxic in some ways.
I think it is. I think it's unhealthy, and I think it's low-key bordering on sin, if not sin as it is. You know what I'm saying? And I think I've seen that, whether you're a lesbian, not a lesbian, irregardless, I think women have an emotional connection to other women that if it's not guarded, or not called out for what it is, I think that can lead to the sort of friendships that are just unhealthy. And so for me and that person in particular, we had to cut each other off because it was like, I feel like we're sinning against God. Because I think the danger in women or female inordinate relationships is that it looks normal. You just look like BFFs. You just look like best friends. Mm. So nobody can see it and say, oh, y'all need to stop. Y'all need to, you know what I'm saying? It'd be different if they were two head, like if it was a man and a woman functioning that way. It's like, so are y'all dating or y'all not? But because it's two girls, nobody can notice it. And so it's a lot more sinister and subtle. Those kinds of relationships for sure are ones that I think need to be addressed.
Yeah, and that's cut. I think that's deep what you said, because I think what you basically said was, is if you have a relationship in your life that causes you to
sin
or to displease God, yeah, in your actions or your interactions with somebody, mm-hmm, I think that's when you can safely say this is toxic, because it puts me in danger, mm-hmm, of the only one that really does matter, which is the, mm-hmm, the opinion of my Heavenly Father.
And I think to be even more specific, coming back to putting things in their proper category, if we use the general label of toxic, sure, I think if we make it specific, idolatry, yes. And so I think labeling it a relationship like that where the affections are inordinate and unhealthy, I think when you label it an idol as in I am giving more energy and esteem and time to this than I do God, His word, His church, fellowship, prayer. Then now I see, oh, I need to treat this how you treat idols.
Yeah, you know what's deep though, babe? It seems as if a lot of people don't deem things toxic when it comes to their own heart. Because I think
that's a good point.
What we see all the time is people always talking about toxic when it comes to what another person is doing. But a lot of times things are toxic because like we have unhealthy relationships because our heart.
Because we can be the toxic ones too, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because we can be the toxic ones, and that's the reason why we allow toxic people to come into our lives.
Perhaps, yeah.
Because we attract this, you know what I'm saying? And I think it can very well be changing our heart issue too. So, babe, I got a question. To not cut somebody off, what are some boundaries we can set for ourselves to make sure we are in a healthy situation? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I think communication, to repeat this point, is a big deal. And so for me personally, and in my friendships that have had tension or confusion or just things got weird, we had to have a talk, because I think it's immature. It would be immature of me to distance myself from somebody without even giving them the chance to know what it is that they did that is causing me to distance myself. Because most likely, if I'm wanting to cut them off or wanting to distance myself or wanting to make this relationship seasonal, it isn't simply they did X, Y, and Z. Is that how they did, what they did hurt me.
Yeah.
Let me communicate that hurt. And I think that's fair. And it gives them the chance to repent and grow because I've actually confessed how they made me feel.
That's good.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Or let me come to them and say, hey, things have been a little strange, been a little weird. Have I done anything that has caused some tension between us? Like, me posturing myself in a place of being teachable so that maybe it's on me. Maybe I did something and I just don't know. So I think communication is huge. Then there's some friends that we talked about this earlier, like those friends who have an invisible friend contract that you that they drafted up in Microsoft Word or Pages.
Or deem you as a friend way more than you even, way more than y'all established.
That's way more awkward, where it's like they think y'all besties, but y'all not really besties.
Y'all met like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, like
y'all seen each other three times.
I ain't even text you back. Like, why you think we besties? but I think communicating boundaries in the sense of, hey, friend, this is how you've made me feel. Moving forward, how can we grow from this? What do I need to do to communicate better? What can you do to communicate better? What are the expectations that you have of this friendship? This is as much as I can give to accommodate your expectations. So, for example, because of my life stage as a wife, as a mother, as a writer, artist, my time is thin. And it's limited. And so if I have a friend that says, hey, these are my expectations, I could say, because of my life stage, because of all that I have to give to this, I can do my best to accommodate your expectations in this way. And my prayer is that my best is seen as my best to you, that you hope the best and don't say that I'm only giving a little, when really all that I'm giving is all I can give, considering all that I'm already doing.
Does that make sense? That makes a lot of sense.
And so communicating expectations is huge. Communicating pain, communicating hurt, putting myself in the position to recognize that maybe the weirdness in the relationship is on me and not them.
Yeah.
And being humble enough to say, I'm sorry about that. I apologize. Yeah, I'll change.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I think what I hear you communicating is, I think it has to be a level of humility,
yes,
on your part to like really investigate why this person is difficult in this season. And it might be you.
Yes.
And doing some,
because assumptions will always break up friendships.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing some digging and doing some hard work and self-reflecting can really help. That's good, babe. I don't really have nothing else to say.
Yeah.
I'm done.
So I guess the close to that would be, man, like God himself has given us friendships. You know, he even calls our relationship with him friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, there's beauty and goodness and sanctification and growth to be found in our friends. And I would assume that the powers that be, the devil, would prefer for us to be alone, would prefer for us to cut off and distance ourselves from the people that God perhaps might have sent our way to grow us and shape us and to just be good to us. Like, friendships are not just about sanctity or being sanctified, but they're also about joy. My friendships allow me to enjoy life in a way that loneliness would not, or isolation would not. And so I think working through the particular friendships that we have is a meaningful work and a worthy work. And I guess the challenge is do the work, because like God is with you in it. And I don't know.
And I'll just quickly say that like we were once enemies of God, but I think God in his goodness, instead of destroying us or cutting us off when we sinned against him, what he did was he sent his son to come and to dwell in human history. And what he did was he opened his arms and he said, instead of cutting these people off who have been enemies of mine, who have disobeyed me, I'm going to open my arms and welcome them into fellowship with me. And I think that we became friends with Christ because he didn't cut us off, but he said, you know what, come dine with me. And, I think if we do the same, we can give a lot more people in our lives opportunities to who were once toxic to be friends. And so, yeah.
Where would I be without you? I only think about you.
People who don't listen to 2000 hip hop is so confused right now.
Well, let me end with a scripture just in case they are. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times and the brother is born for adversity. Love you, friends. Love y'all. Love God. Bye. Yeah.